Are you ready, Boots? Start walking.
Getting all groovy today as we celebrate Father's Day with father and offspring songs back to back. That, of course, following up Sinatra and Frank Sinatra, that is, in Strangers in the Night, Nancy, and These Boots Were Made for Walking, that came out. That was actually the title track of her album, Boots, written by Lee Hazlewood, who she had a very close friendship with. I'm not sure if they got married or not, but I know they were together a long time. Lee wrote it for himself, and he said it's not really a girl song. It's kind of violin. You're walking all over people. And back in 1965, girls weren't doing that kind of thing. They were supposed to be nice and, you know, have aprons and make brownies and things, you know, June Cleaver stuff. But Nancy heard that and talked him out of it. She said, coming from a guy, it's kind of harsh and abusive, yes. But coming from a girl, walking all over you with boots, yeah, kind of sexy, isn't it? Anyway, that was recorded with the help of the famous Los Angeles session musicians known as the Wrecking Crew, and it became her biggest and actually pretty much her only hit. But what a great hit it was. Nancy Sinatra, These Boots Are Made for Walking. All right, so we're going to get to another famous pairing of the same era. One of them has been on this show a couple of times, and I've just actually reached out to her to see if she'd be willing to come back and join us again. I'm talking about Dina Martin, who's named after her father, Dean Martin. Well, as tradition has had it on this show, we're going to start with the dad song. And I have picked a song from 1967. This is one I remember my parents playing all the time on their stereo during their canasta nights when they would play, and they'd have the console stereo with all the albums, and they would drop one by one and play through the night. And I thought, wow, technology is pretty cool because you can play all these albums without having to flip them over. And look where we are now. Originally done by Jim Reeves, Gentleman Jim Reeves, in 1964. This was the 67 version by old Dino, giving it the saloon-style delivery. In the Misty Moonlight, Dean Martin.
In the misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, long as I'm with you. In a faraway land, on the tropic sea sand, if your hand's in my hand, I won't be blue. Way up on a mountain, way down in a valley, I know I'll be happy any place, anywhere. I don't care, in the misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, long as you are there. Anywhere, I don't care, in the misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, long as you're there. In a misty moonlight, by the flickering firelight, any place is all right, long as you are there. In a misty moonlight.
1967. A song that went to number one on Easy Listening charts, Dean Martin. He was at his peak at that time. That song was written by Cyndi Walker, and it was actually fairly successful in the hands of country singers. It was a country song, but Dino made it his own. In fact, some of those that recorded it besides Gentleman Jim Reeves was the late B.J. Thomas, Eddie Arnold, Jerry Wallace, Skeeter Davis, Kitty Wells, Bill Anderson, and even Hank Snow and Farron Young gave a spin at it. But nobody covered it like Dino, and he went to the top of the charts with it. Easy Listening charts, that is. And it even made the 46 spot, top 50 on Billboard's Hot 100, which in 1967, it was a whole lot of different musical styles going on. That was when all the hippie stuff was coming out, and the blues and British Invasion was starting to turn psychedelic, and it was kind of interesting stuff. Anyway, Dean Martin, that always takes me back to my my childhood years, my preteens and 10, 11-year-old age group. I remember my mom and dad playing those records, all those old records, Perry Como, Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin, El Martino, and they'd stack them with like 10 albums on that console, and it would just drop and play and drop and play and drop and play till it went through like a half a dozen records. And then they'd, somebody get up, usually me, have to flip it over and start it on the other sides, the B-sides. And I always think when I hear Dean Martin of those, the best times of my life as a kid with my parents, and they would have their canasta card nights with their friends, and there were highballs, which I never knew what a highball was, but there was a highball, and they all had those, and they all had their canasta cards out, and they were bowls of peanuts and weird things, you know. It was cool back. House parties back in that era with the people of my parents' age were pretty hip things, and it was kind of like the bachelor pad stuff without being bachelors. Anyway, Dean Martin gave us an incredible young lady, his daughter. And she was actually, oh gosh, when did she start singing? As a child with him. I don't know the actual remembrance. I know she made her debut on the Dean Martin Show, so I'm thinking 65, 66. So Dina Martin is still active. She tours. In fact, she was on this show, and she records standards, and we're going to play something for her right now. This is, as a matter of fact, I just talked to her, and I was emailed with her, and I'm trying to get her back on the show. This is a song that was made famous by the Classics Four and later by the Atlanta Rhythm Section, but she's given it that old-school spin, that Dean Martin daddy spin. This is Dina Martin, an incredible singer in her own right, and spooky.
In the cool of the evening, when everything is getting kinda groovy, you call me up and ask me, would I like to go with you and see a movie? First I say no, I've got some plans for tonight, and then I stop and say alright. Love is kinda crazy with a spooky little boy like you. You always keep me guessing, I never seem to know what you were thinking. And if a girl looks at you, it's for sure your light will be winking. I get confused, I never know where I stand, and then you smile, hold my hand. Love is kinda crazy with a spooky little boy like you. Oh, spooky this little game that you are playing. I'm gonna tell you all the things my heart's been dying to be saying. Just like a ghost. ghost. You've been a haunting my dreams, but now I know you're not what you seem. Love is kind of crazy with a spooky little boy like you. You're so spooky, baby. Oh, you're just a spooky little baby. You're my spooky baby. Oh, you're so spooky. You're so spooky, baby.
Doing a little finger popping there, jazzy nightclub, barroom, saloon style, just like her dad. That is Dina Martin, the only living, performing sibling, or not sibling, but offspring of Dean Martin. And his first wife, Elizabeth Ann McDonald. I love Dina Martin. I think she's got such class and style, and she should get a female Rat Pack. Can you imagine how cool that would be if we had a female Rat Pack right now? And Dina Martin was in. Maybe even you get Nancy Sinatra. I know she's up in years, but maybe get Nancy Sinatra and Dina Martin. And, you know, I don't know if Sammy Davis has any daughters, but how cool would that be? That would be fun. But I love her treatment of that. That is, of course, a rock song made famous by the Classics Four originally and then recovered by members of the Classics Four when they became Atlanta Rhythm Section. And there we have it, barroom style from Dina Martin. All right, let's change pace a little bit and head down south. This was actually the first big breakthrough song by this artist. And it kind of kicked off the line dance experience in the mainstream. I remember after this one came out, I was DJing at Club Dimension, and we would have line dance lessons. I think it was a Wednesday before we'd bring in a country band that, of course, had to play line dance country. And this was the song that was the big one at the time. And it went to number one, and it kind of became tongue-in-cheek. And you can't knock success. Everybody had one of those pop hits that you're kind of embarrassed by at the same time you're grateful for because it made you the big bank to carry on your career. Bobby Darin had Splish Splash. Look at what he gave us. You know, a lot of these artists do that. This guy happens to be named Billy Ray Cyrus. That's right. And his debut album, Some Gave All, had some great songs, including the title track. It came out in 1992 and went triple platinum. And we're going to give you something from him and then follow up with his daughter, little Miss Miley. So this is Achy Breaky Heart. Get your dancing shoes on. It's line dance time.
Thank you. achy, breaky heart, I just don't think he'd understand. And if you tell my heart, my achy, breaky heart, he mightn't blow up and kill this man.
Well, were you dancing? Woo! That was one of the songs that led to the explosion of the line dance phenomenon in the mainstream that crossed country over into everyone's world. Everybody started buying cowboy hats and boots and doing line dances in clubs, and that was the way it was. And we can blame Billy Ray and that song for a big chunk of that. A lot of people, a lot of surveys that have been taken, a lot of critics have called that one of the worst songs of all time. But you can't knock success. The thing went to number one, was triple platinum, and certainly put a young lad named Billy Ray Cyrus on the charts and in the mainstream fast. Fast track to a great career. And he was a little hesitant at first to record it, according to what he had told me. But he said, you know, we're going to do it. It's a fun song. And a lot of people don't realize that this song, which was written by an amateur songwriter named Don Van Tuss or Van Tess, or Tress or something like that. I can't remember. But he was out of Tennessee, and he was a young fledgling songwriter. And he originally pitched it to the publishing company of the Oak Ridge Boys. Remember Elvira? Thought it would be another song like that, a catchy little kitschy song. And early 90s, they pitched it to the Oaks. And the group thought about it. But lead singer Dwayne Allen said, yeah, I don't know. I don't really like achy breaky. I don't think that's kind of cheesy. And they passed. And then it got given to Billy Ray Cyrus. So there you go. The original title, by the way, was not Achy Breaky Heart. It was Don't Tell My Heart. And that was the original title. And they decided to play up the achy breaky for Billy Ray. And, of course, he was the king of the mullets. He's the guy that started the big mullet thing, too. So there you go. Anyway, Billy Ray has created a great body of work over the years. I had a chance to meet him when he was touring on Farm Aid, and then I had a chance to interview him a couple times by phone after that. And I remember us talking. Hannah Montana had just kind of debuted, and I remember us talking, and I said, Billy Ray, aren't you worried with all the horror stories of child actors and actresses and, you know, young people in the music business, from Michael Jackson to, you know, Johnny Whitaker from Family Affair? I mean, everybody had these teenage crises. And he goes, oh, no. He goes, Miley's we come from a very stable, you know, Christian family. And how can you not think it's stable when you got Dolly Parton as your godmother? And that's what Miley's godmother is. But anyway, long story short, I remember him saying he was not really worried about it. He thought that that she had a good moral compass, a good moral background. And, of course, she did have her wild period. But she's back and feet on the earth, so to speak, on the terra firma. I had a little wild streak, as all of us do during those years of our lives. But Miley seems to have dialed everything back in. And this was a song that actually did very well for her. Back in 2009, she was just leaving the Hannah Montana kind of groove and getting into the dance music. And it appeared on an EP she released called The Time of Our Lives. She wasn't really sold on it when she played this, or when she was given this song. She said it was a little poppy, but she loved working with producer Dr. Luke, and that was one of the keys. They made it less poppy than the original demo, and she recorded it, and of course it became quite a big hit on all those Now That Was or That Is dance music kind of things. And we're going to play it for you. This is my favorite solo Miley song, one I can kind of enjoy and toe-tap to. This is Party in the USA.
I hopped off the plane at LAX with a dream, my cardigan. Welcome to the land of fame, excess. Am I going to fit in? Jumped in the cab, here I am for the first time. Look to my right and I see the Hollywood sign. This is all so crazy. Everybody seems so famous. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kind of homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the taxi man turned on the radio. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on. And the Jay-Z song was on.
up in my taxi cab. Everybody's looking at me now. Like, who's that chick that's rocking kicks? She gotta be from out of town. So hard with my girls on around me. It's definitely not a Nashville party. Cause all I see is the letters. I guess I never got the memo. My tummy's turning and I'm feeling kinda homesick. Too much pressure and I'm nervous. That's when the DJ drum my favorite tune. And the Britney song was on. And the Britney song was on. And the Britney.
In the USA, I remember when I didn't know who did that song. I liked the beat. I heard it when Weird Al Yankovic did Party with the CIA over at the Star Plaza. And I said, man, that's a cool song. And my son goes, it's a parody. I says, oh, really? Who did it? He goes, Miley Cyrus. I says, wait, Hannah Montana? He goes, no, Miley Cyrus. It's her solo release from 2009 off an EP she put out called The Time of Our Lives. And it was appropriate for her to record that because it was right about the time they were relocating. The Cyrus family was relocating from Nashville, Tennessee to Hollywood, Tennessee. I'm sorry, not Hollywood, Tennessee, Hollywood, California, from Nashville, Tennessee to Hollywood, California. And she was in the transition. And so the lyrics about her kicks and, you know, looking different and fitting in, it seemed to fit. And she gave it her own style thanks to Dr. Luke's production, which danced it up instead of just popped it up. All right, we're gonna stay country-ish for a while. That was kind of country-ish. I mean, she's done some country, and Billy Ray, of course, has been all over the board with different stuff. So now let's take it to a guy I had the pleasure, and I do mean pleasure, of working with in 1988. He had just come back from having major heart surgery. He was back on the road for the first time, and if you ever come to my record store, the record bin in Hobart, Indiana, you'll see a framed vest that this gentleman gave me with his logo on it. And there's a great story behind it, which I won't get into now. But he was one of our major stars at a thing called Superfest in Lansing, Illinois, 1988. I was part of the production company that put that on. And he was my charge, basically. I was making sure that he was as comfortable as he could be and taken care of, plus the fact that he was one of my heroes, and I'm talking about Mr. Waylon Jennings, and he has given us a great son, a musical son named Shooter Jennings, that is a big, he's a big producer now. He hasn't had so many hits, but he's a big producer, and his touch has really impacted a lot of the newer artists, just like Waylon's impacted a lot of artists. So let's go give you the Jennings boys, Waylon and Shooter, and this is Luckenbach, Texas, from 1977. You're at graduated high school.
The things in life that make it worth living is guitars tuned good and firm, feeling women. I don't need my name in the marquee lights. I got my song and I got you with me tonight. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Luckenbach, Texas, with Waylon and Willie.
boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Blueberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain. So baby, let's sell your diamond ring, buy some boots and faded jeans and go away. This coat and tie is choking me, and in your high society you cry all day. We've been so busy keeping up with the Joneses, four-car garage, and we're still building on. Maybe it's time we got back to the basics of love. Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, with Waylon and Willie and the boys. This successful life we're living got us feuding like the Hatfields and McCoys. Between Hank Williams' pain songs and Newberry's train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out of Lukenbach, Texas, ain't nobody feeling no pain.
Let's go to Lukenbach, Texas, Willie and Waylon and boys. This successful life we're living's got us feuding like the Hatfields and the McCoys. Between the Hank Williams pain songs and Jerry Jeff train songs and Blue Eyes crying in the rain. Out in Lukenbach, Texas, there ain't nobody feeling no pain.
Released in spring of 1977, about a month before I graduated high school. I always loved Waylon and Willie and Hank Jr. and Hank Sr. for that matter. I was kind of a closet fan of country music. I like the old school stuff, not so big on the latter day stuff. But interesting tune there, Lukenbach, Texas. Waylon was never in Lukenbach until after that song was recorded. And it was written by Chips Moman, who has done some phenomenal writing and producing over the years. Chips Moman and Bobby Emmons gave it to Waylon, and they said they thought he'd like it because his name was in it. You know, Waylon, Willie, and the boys in that line of lyrics there. And I guess Jennings never really liked the song. Said he knew it'd be a hit, but he never really liked the song. And if you notice at the very end there, the final refrain features another kind of whiny, nasally familiar voice. That, of course, a fellow outlaw, Willie Nelson, jumping in there on that final one. So that's one of my favorites. If I had to pick 10 songs for a desert island of country music, I think at least two would be Waylon's and Willie's. All right, Lukenbach, Texas, Back to the Basics of Love from 1977. Let's move it up now, a couple of decades. 2006, it was off the second album from Waylon's and Jesse Coulter's son, Shooter. Shooter Jennings has released a couple of different albums that I think are wonderful. They haven't released a lot of hits or provided a lot of hits to us, but he has really gotten good at producing. And maybe because on this album, David Cobb, who is a legendary producer, worked with him. So we're going to go back to the Electric Rodeo. This is the second actual album from American country artist and offspring of Mr. Waylon and Jesse. It's Shooter Jennings and a tune called It Ain't Easy. Listen to the lyrics. It's about life being tough. And we're going to send this out to Tom Maloney, who's a relatively new dad on this Father's Day weekend.
When I was just a young boy, my daddy came to me. Said, son, out in this world, there's a lot of things that are gonna make you feel like you're supposed to be. don't have to read the good book and be a good man just the same. And forget about the money. Money ain't brought nothing to your daddy but pain. It ain't easy. It ain't easy.
But you'll be alright. Now it's 15 years later. Now I'm out on the road. And it's been 4 years to the day he died, and they won't even play us on the radio. And I think I found my way alright without him here to catch me now and again. I just keep on moving along, keeping my mind on my song and trying to figure out love. And it ain't easy.
To thank you for all the things that you've done. Yeah, you gave me a line in the dark of the night when there was no place to hide or where to run. It ain't easy. It ain't easy, is it, babe? It ain't easy. It ain't easy. It ain't.
From Electric Rodeo, Shooter Jennings, and It Ain't Easy, going back to 2006. If you haven't experienced Shooter, because you don't hear him on the radio, really. I mean, country radio has kind of not played him. Of course, they don't play his dad anymore either. That's a real shame. Let's go with the flavor of the day. How about that? You know, country that isn't country, that's pop music. Anyway, I digress. We are celebrating Father's Day by playing famous musical dads and songs from their famous or not so famous kids. Shooter Jennings has gone on to do some great production work, though. I think that's where he's going to make his mark. All right, let's move on with another country music legend, and this will probably be our last country one. You can't do a show about important musicians and their offsprings without doing the Cash family. Whether it's the Carters or the Cashes, their lineage just reaches out and touches everywhere. Their fingerprints are on modern music from the 1920s up. Let's start out with Mr. Johnny Cash from his Sun era. We're going to take you back. I think this one was 1956, and it came out on Sun Records. He was young in his career. Sam Phillips, a legendary producer, tweak the knobs on this, and then we're going to come back a couple decades later and give you his daughter, Roseanne. So let's start with Johnny and Walk That Line.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line. I find it very, very to be true. I find myself alone when each day's through. Yes, I'll admit that I'm a fool for you. Because you're mine, I walk the line. As sure as night is dark and day is light, I keep you on my mind both day and night. And happiness I've known proves that it's right, because you're mine, I walk the line. You've got a way to keep me on your side. You give me cause for love that I can't hide. For you I know I'd even try to turn the tide, because you're mine, I walk the line. I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds, because you're mine, I walk the line.
Classic Johnny Cash, 1956, one of the early hits, and that's off an album called Johnny Cash and His Hot and Blue Guitar. Featured on there, you got to give the Tennessee Three the props. Marshall Grant and Luther Perkins. Luther doing that boogie-woogie kind of guitar. Sam Phillips producing, and that song has actually been re-recorded four times during Cash's career. The next time was in 64 when he released... 64 was a I Walk the Line album. It was reissued on his new label, Columbia. And then in 69, a famous version at San Quentin. And then other times. There you go. Walk the Line. Good, good, good stuff. And, you know, the talent, the DNA in the Carter family, the Cash family, is legendary. And there's so many of the folks that we could have featured for the follow-up, for the offspring. There's John Cash, John Carter Cash, and there's the Valerie Carter, who is the stepdaughter. But let's go with Johnny's daughter from his first marriage. She's one of my favorites. She is often lumped in as country, but her music draws from all different styles. She's kind of like Lucinda Williams. She's got rock and blues and country all kind of weaved together, even a little touch of folk in there. And Rosanna Cash is phenomenal. She was married to Rodney Crowell for a while, and he helped get her the defined sound that she eventually came up with. And this is probably her most successful album. It came out in 1981. She's still out there doing it. This is the title track. This is Rosanna Cash, the daughter of Johnny and his first wife, Vivian, and a tune called 7 Year Ache.
Everybody's talking, but you don't.
7-year ache, 1981. Roseanne Cash, born to Johnny and Vivian Cash, Johnny's first wife, back in 1955. And we started off with I Walk the Line, Johnny's his biggest hit from Sun Records, one of his biggest hits. He was actually getting ready to record I Walk the Line when Roseanne was born. I thought that was a nice pairing there. And Roseanne, like I said, kind of like Lucinda Williams and some of the other great crossover female artists, Bonnie Bramlett, has kind of that rock, blues, southern country thing going on. And her sound was helped to be defined by her then-husband, Rodney Crowell, himself a great songwriter and artist. Can't give Roseanne props without giving some to Rodney, her ex, because he really had a big part in designing her sound with her. All right, let's move on and give you something that's a little off the radar. And we're talking about the Buckleys. Tim Buckley, he passed away at the age of 28 after a heroin and morphine overdose. He was chosen by the journalists, the hipsters of the day, as being the next big thing, the next Dylan-type artist that was going to just have impact on everything. And he did in the short span of his life. He was good friends with Frank Sinatra and the Mothers of Invention. He worked with everybody. And even Pat Boone recorded his most famous song first. But Tim gave us the ultimate version. This is coming at you off Star Sailor and a tune called Song to the Siren. It's probably his best known. Jeff Buckley coming up.
Long afloat on shipless oceans, I did all my best to smile, till your singing eyes and fingers drew me loving to your isle, and you sang, sail to me, sail to me, let me enfold you. Here I am, here I am, waiting to hold you. Did I dream? You dreamed about me. Were you here when I was fighting? But now my foolish boat is leaning, broken love long on your rocks. For you sing, touch me not, touch me not, come back tomorrow. Oh, my heart, oh, my heart, shies from the sorrow. I'm as puzzled as the newborn child. I'm as riddled as the tide. Should I stand amid the breakers, or should I lie with death my bride? Oh, hear me sing, swim to me, swim to me, let me enfold you. Here I am, here I am, waiting to hold you.
late Tim Buckley, taken much too soon at the age of 28 due to drug addiction. Heroin and morphine did him in 1975? Yeah, 75. That song, Song to the Siren, perhaps is best known. And it was actually written in 1967. He didn't record it and release it until 1970. And one of those that covered it when they heard the demos going around was Pat Boone, of all people. I can't imagine Pat doing that song, but he did. And what's interesting about that tune, too, is it's got a little television history. It was the last song to be played in the finale episode of The Monkees TV show, which aired on March 25th, 1968. So it was out on The Monkees show in 68, but he didn't actually release it on his own album, Star Sailor, till 1970. And it became his biggest hit because people had heard it, different versions of it. But that, of course, Tim Buckley started out as a folk singer, kind of got into jazz and all kinds of eclectic things, played in odd tunings, and just was quite the musical genius, which is why he was kindred soul to Mr. Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention. Well, years later, his son, because when he died, he left two young sons, and one of them was Jeff. Jeff was born in 1966, so he was... He was a youngin' when his dad passed, and he inherited the musical gene. And sadly, he passed away due to an accident. He decided to go swimming one night while waiting for the tour bus in the muddy Mississippi, and he got caught in the wake of a passing boat and drowned. That happened in May of 1967. And at that point, young Jeff Buckley had only released one studio album. There's a few great live ones out there, but in 1994, the album Grace came out. And Grace is where we got this song. This is one of my favorite songs from him called The Last Goodbye. Jeff Buckley, following his dad, Tim Buckley.
Baby, maybe it's
giving you the Buckleys. Jeff Buckley, The Last Goodbye, off the Grace album. And before that, his famous father, Tim Buckley. And both of them take it from us much too early. Speaking of father and sons, let's go to two of my favorites, Bob Dylan and Jacob Dylan. Now, I'm going to give you, everybody knows Bob. I'm not going to dwell on this too much, except to say that it's from 1962. And the A-side was Blowing in the Wind. This was the B-side on Columbia Records, produced by the legendary John Hammond. Again, giving you something from the Freewheelin' Bob Dylan album. This is a good song you might remember. Don't think twice. It's all right. Mr. Zimmerman.
Well, it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, even you don't know by now. And it ain't no use to sit and wonder why, baby, it'll never do somehow. When your rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window and I'll be gone. You're the reason I'm traveling on, but don't think twice, it's all right. And it ain't no use in the turning on your light, babe, the light I never knowed. And it ain't no use in turning on your light, babe, I'm on the dark side of the road. But I wish there was something you would do or say to try and make me change my mind and stay. But we never did too much talking anyway. But don't think twice, it's all right. Oh, it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, like you never done before. And it ain't no use in calling out my name, gal, I can't hear you anymore. I'm a-thinking and a-wondering, walking down the road. I once loved a woman, a child, I'm told. I gave her my heart, but she wanted my soul. Don't think twice, it's all right. So long, honey, baby, where I'm bound, I can't tell. Goodbye is too good a word, baby, so I just say fairly well. I ain't saying you treated me unkind. You could have done better, but I don't mind. You just kind of wasted my precious time. But don't think twice, it's all right.
From 1963 off the Freewheelin' Bob Dylan album, that is the B-side to Blowin' in the Wind, the single produced by John Hammond. And Bob Dylan, of course, legendary. And his son ain't no slouch either. I had the good fortune of working with him with the Wallflowers when they did the One Headlight single in the first album. And not only did they do some great albums as the Wallflowers, Jacob Dylan, Bob's son, also has some great solo stuff. We're going to go to his second solo album now from 2010. Women and Country. Yeah, there might be some wine in there too. But Women and Country came out on Columbia Records, Dad's label, on April 6, 2010. Produced by Bob Dylan's producer, T-Bone Walker, also the guitar player on a lot of the Bob Dylan stuff. Plays guitar on this as well. T-Bone is here along with Nico Case on backing vocals. And just a who's who of incredible young talents. So, without any further ado, going to leave you on this wonderful Father's Day with a great song from Jacob Dylan, a guy I enjoyed working with and enjoy his music. Pay more attention to him. Bob's gonna giving us a great catalog, but let's listen to Jacob. Truth for a Truth. Good stuff. Adios, everybody, from 2010.
I'm guilty.